All right, guys. Well, it's good to be with you again this Monday afternoon here at the shelter, sharing the Word of God with you. So you guys excited to be here this bright, sunny Monday afternoon?
Monday, yes, sir.
It's a beautiful day, isn't it? This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it, right? All right. Well, a number of weeks ago, I started a little series here at this devotional called Receiving Your Miracle, and we talked about several things that we need to do in order to receive the miracle that God has for us. And you know, God has great miracles in store for you. He's got financial provision in store for you. He's got healing for your body in store for you. God has got peace for your emotions in store for you. God has got deliverance from drugs, from alcohol, from other things that are wrong in store for you. He's got a miracle, friends, in store for you. And what does God require of us? What does the Bible say the one thing is that pleases God? It's faith. Right. Hebrews 11:6. For without faith, it is impossible to please God. So with faith, you please God, right? Because he who comes to God must believe that God exists and that he is what? A rewarder of those who diligently seek him. God is looking for childlike faith. He's looking for a doubtless faith, a faith that does not doubt his goodness in our lives. He's looking for a persistent faith, a faith that does not give up. Now, Abraham, how many here have heard of Abraham in the Old Testament? God promised Abraham, he said, Abraham, I will make you a father of many nations, when he was 75 years old. How many years did Abraham believe for that promise to be fulfilled? 25 years. He was 100 years old when God gave him Isaac, the one through whom the nation of Israel would come, right? He waited 25 years. He was persistent in his faith. And not only is God looking for faith, but in order to receive the miracle that God has for us, we've got to take a step of faith to receive what God has for us. And there's somebody at the door. For you to take that step of faith required to receive your miracle, you have got to have a positive self-image. If you see yourself always as defeated, as under the weather, never being able to go forward, you'll never be able to take the step of faith that God wants from you to receive the miracle that he has for you. So we talked about how valuable you are to God. We talked a couple of weeks ago about forgiving yourself. One of the ways to build your self-image is to forgive yourself of the wrong you've done in the past. We've all done some pretty bad things in the past, right? Yes. We've all said some pretty bad things in the past, right? Is that right?
Right.
Some things that we may regret right now. But the thing is, we can't live in the past. We've got to let go of the past and leave it where it belongs. Where does the past belong? It belongs in the past, so forget about it. See yourself as God sees you. God sees you as forgiven. See, when you said, Jesus, be my Savior and my Lord, all of your sins up until that point were erased in the heart and in the mind of God. So that when God looks at you, he doesn't see your sinful past, he sees Jesus. And you've got to see yourself, I've got to see myself, as God sees us. He sees Jesus when he looks at us. He sees a brand new creation. So you've got to forgive yourself of the wrong you've done in the past. And as you begin to forgive yourself, as you begin to let go of the record of wrongs that you've held against yourself, as you begin to let go of the regret that you have against yourself, then guess what? Your self-esteem will improve. And you can take the step of faith that God wants you to take in order to receive the miracle he has for you. Last week, we talked about what? We talked about this brother here, Daryl was talking about it with me. We talked about forgiving others the wrongs that they have committed against us. How many people have said or done something against you?
No.
Somebody has said or done something against you, right? To offend you, to upset you, to irritate you, to aggravate you, right? The thing is this, we're not to hold a debt against them, right? We're to release them of that debt and say, you know what, brother, sister, you are forgiven. You don't owe me a thing. So we talked about forgiving others their wrongs against us, right? Well, this afternoon, I want to talk about another subject. It's really hard to receive a miracle from God if you're upset with God, right? So for the next few minutes, I want to talk about not being upset with God. It's called Don't Be Upset with God. You know, All of us have had some pretty bad things happen to us in life, right? We've all suffered grief. We've all suffered some type of loss, right? And you know, you may have heard it in the past that God was the one who took that thing from you. It may have been a minister. It may have been a family member. It may have been a friend. But you know what? It's not true. That's a lie. The devil is a liar and the author of all lies. You know, somebody may have told you that that loved one you lost, God took him from you. God took her from you. It's not true. You see, it's the enemy of our souls. The enemy of our souls that would try to plant in our hearts and in our minds the seed that God was the cause of the negative thing that happened to us. And if you allow that thought, friends, to take a hold of your heart, it can turn into a root of bitterness against God. Amen. And you know what? The enemy would try to take that root of bitterness to separate you from God. He's out to destroy our souls, telling us that God was the cause of the wrong thing, the bad thing that happens to us. So I'm out to destroy the lie that God was the cause of the bad thing that happened to us. God is not the cause of bad things that happen to good people, right? So for the next few minutes, I want to talk about some of the reasons that bad things happen to people. Remember, thousands of years ago, when Adam and Eve were created by God, right? God said, Adam, you may eat of any tree in the Garden of Eden, but the one tree I do not want you eating of is the tree of the knowledge of good and of evil. For in the day that you eat of it, you will surely die, right? So the tempter, the serpent, came to the woman, tempted her. She ate of the tree. She gave some to her husband. And what entered the world at that point? When Adam ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, sin entered the world, right? And that sin nature has been passed down to us, right? Let's look at what the psalmist wrote in Psalm 51, verse 5. And this is what he said. He said, surely I was sinful at birth, sinful from the time my mother conceived me. One translation says, I was born in sin and shaped in iniquity. One of the reasons that bad things happen to us is because of the sin nature. It's not God that causes bad things. He's the author of good. You know, sometime back, we do street evangelism on Friday nights. I met a man, probably about a year and a half or 2 years ago, who was dying of emphysema. He was in his 40s. And he told me he was dying of emphysema, and he smoked. He had been smoking a long time like a chimney. Now, if somebody smokes like a chimney for many years, and they contract lung cancer, or they contract emphysema, that emphysema, that lung cancer was not put on them by God, right? Who put that lung cancer on them? That emphysema on them? Themselves. They were sinning against their own bodies. The temple of God. The Bible says what? That your body is a temple of God. So if you're smoking and smoking and smoking, you're sinning against your own body. And if a person contracts emphysema or lung cancer, God didn't do it. The sin nature in themselves did it to themselves, right? So that's one of the reasons that bad things happen to good people is because of the sin nature resident in us. Now, another reason that sometimes bad things happen to good people is by the sins of others. I was out at the Greyhound bus station on a Friday night doing street evangelism, and I met a man who had just come back from Iraq, a soldier. And he was telling me some of his stories, and he said, one day, he said, I was in a bus in Iraq with a bunch of fellow soldiers. And he said, this Iraqi suicide bomber walked up on the bus with bombs strapped to his chest. He said he headed out of that bus and ran, and that bus blew up. He lost a lot of his friends that day, and he was grieving. He was broken hearted. Now, God didn't take those people's lives, right? He didn't take the lives of those American soldiers in Iraq, right? Who was the cause of that death, of those deaths? Who was the cause of that loss? The suicide bomber, the sin of that suicide bomber. So sometimes bad things happen to good people because of the sins of others. That radical Muslim, that suicide bomber, thought he was doing someone a favor, thought he was doing God a favor. And so he walked into that bus, and so many people lost their lives. It wasn't God, friends. It was the sin of somebody else that caused that bad thing, right? Does that make sense? So some of the reasons why bad things happen to good people. Another reason that sometimes bad things happen to good people is because of the devil himself. How many here remember the story of Job? The story of Job in the Old Testament. He was an upright man. He was an upright man. Righteous. Let's look at the Word of God. Job chapter 1. If you don't have a Bible, I'll read it. Job chapter 1. This is what the Word of God says in Job 1:1. In the land of Uz there lived a man whose name was Job. This man was blameless and upright. He feared God and shunned evil. He was an upright man, right? And in verse 6 of Job 1, it says this: one day the angels came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came with them. The Lord said to Satan, "Where have you come from?" Satan answered the Lord, "From roaming through the earth and going back and forth in it." And I think what Satan was trying to say was he was roaming the earth to try to find somebody who would turn his back on God if God took everything from him. And then what does God say in verse 8, Job 1:8? Then the Lord said to Satan, "Have you considered my servant Job? There is no one on earth like him. He is blameless and upright, a man who fears God and shuns evil." And if you read Job 1 and Job 2, Satan does what? He takes Job's children. He takes his possessions. He takes everything from Job except his very life. He even puts boils on his skin. Now, Job went through a pretty rough time, right? But it was not God that caused the suffering in Job's life, right? Who was it? It was Satan himself. And this is what Job 1:22 says. "In all this, Job did not sin by charging God with wrongdoing." In other words, Job did not blame God. He didn't blame God. He didn't charge God with wrongdoing. Now, how many here remember 9/11? The World Trade Center, New York City. When the World Trade Center came down. Some out there would try to say that that was God's judgment against this nation. But I'm here to tell you this afternoon, that was not God. God was not the cause of the World Trade Center coming down. Who was the cause of that? The cause of that was the enemy, the devil, inspiring these terrorists to do what they did. God does not take life. Those terrorists, they flew those planes into the World Trade Center, and down came the buildings, and thousands lost their lives that morning. It wasn't God's fault. It was the enemy who inspired these evil men, right? So another reason sometimes that bad things happen to good people is because there is a devil out there. Does that make sense? Another reason that sometimes bad things happen to good people is because of the mistakes and the choices
we make
of others. A couple of years ago, back in 2006, I was doing some work for this older gentleman. He was like 86 or 87 at that time. He's probably 88 or 89 now, if he's still alive. And he was like, "Jonathan, my leg is in constant pain, my knee. Constant pain, day and night, day and night." He said, "I had a surgeon do an operation on my knee." He said, "But when he did the operation, he was high on cocaine." Could you imagine that? A surgeon high on cocaine doing surgery on somebody's knee? It's amazing, isn't it? And so every day this old man now suffers with pain in his knee. It wasn't God who did it, right? It wasn't him who did it. It was the mistake and the choice of that surgeon, right? So another reason that bad things sometimes happen to good people is by the mistakes and the choices of others. Sometimes bad things happen to good people by our own mistakes, right? By our own bad choices. I remember back in November of 96, the pickup truck I'm driving today, it was bought brand new in 96. And back in November of 96, my mom was telling me, Jonathan, it's pretty icy out there. It snowed. Don't go to church tonight. But I wanted to do my own thing, and I decided to go to church anyway. So I left the house. I drove to church. Well, I was driving back from church to my house. And I was driving just a little too fast on the sheet of ice by about 101st and Delaware. And my car started to slip and slide. I hit the brake, and what happened? The truck flipped. It landed on the passenger side, upside down. Thank God I had my seatbelt on me. I was suspended in midair. Unlatched that seatbelt, opened the window, and walked out of the truck alive. And the truck was damaged badly on the passenger side. Praise God, I'm still alive today because I had enough sense to wear a seatbelt. But, you know, God did not cause the flipping of that pickup truck, right? Whose fault was it? It was my fault. It was as a result of a bad choice that I made. And sometimes bad things happen by our own choices. Don't blame God, friends, at all. God is the author of good. And sometimes we're persecuted for the gospel's sake. How many here have ever tried sharing the gospel with somebody who was lost? Some of us. And some of you may in the future try sharing the gospel with someone who is lost. Let's look at Matthew 5, or I can turn to Matthew 5, verse 10. Matthew 5, verse 10, and this is what it says. Jesus says, blessed are those who persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. I was in a foreign country a couple of years ago with a team, a team of young American kids. And I was in this country, and I happened to share with these young kids it was in Hong Kong. I'll just tell you guys straight out. I was in Hong Kong, and I told these young kids in this school that Jesus Christ loves you and cares for you. Well, this got back to the leadership, and they got really upset with me, and I ended up leaving that country a little earlier than expected. And I see that incident as having been persecuted for the gospel's sake. And some, you know, you'll go to foreign countries. In India, there's pastors, there's ministers who die for sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ with the lost. Government officials out there in countries like India and China will murder pastors, they'll murder ministers for sharing the gospel. Now, God is not the cause of that happening, right? It's persecution for the gospel's sake. And you know what? The Word of God tells us that, yes, we will have some persecution in sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. And, you know, maybe God will send you to a certain group of people to share the gospel with. You may be persecuted for the gospel's cause. But it's not God doing it to you. It's as you share that gospel and you're doing what you need to do according to the Word of God, you may be persecuted. But don't ever think that God is the direct cause of something bad that is happening to you. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
There's other reasons for it. So how do we react? How do you react when something bad happens to you? How do you react when something bad happens to you? Number one, don't blame God, right?
That's right.
God is not the cause, correct?
Amen.
Let's look at Matthew 7, verse 11. This is what the Word of God says. Jesus said, if you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? What Jesus is saying is this. If you, as earthly fathers, having the sin nature, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more so will your heavenly Father, the perfect one, give good gifts to those who ask him? Does that make sense? No good earthly level-headed father would burn his child with fire, right?
That's right.
Physically.
That's right.
He just wouldn't do that. Our heavenly Father is perfect. He's sinless. He only gives good things. He is the author of good. So when something bad happens, don't be quick to blame God. It's not God. Look at James 1, verses 16 and 17. This is what it says in closing. James 1, verses 16 and 17. Don't be deceived, my dear brothers. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. Let me say that again. Every good and perfect gift is from above. God is the giver of what? He is the giver of good and perfect gifts. He is not the giver of bad things that happen to us. Never confuse that in your mind. It's not God that caused the bad thing that happens to you. John 10:10. What did Jesus say? He said, the thief comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. And Jesus said, but I have come to give you life and to give it to you more abundantly. The thief, the devil, comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But Jesus came to give you life and to give it to you to the fullest. Amen? Does that make sense? All right. So tell yourself this. When you wake up in the morning, God's nature is revealed to me by His Word. And His Word says that His will for me is for what? His will to me is good, right? For good. God's nature is revealed by His written Word. And His written Word says that God is the author of good and not of evil. Amen? God is good all the time, and all the time God is good. As a man thinks within himself, the Word of God says, so is he. The way you think about God, friends, will be the way you act towards God. You see, the enemy, the devil, would try to put the seed in your heart that God was the cause of the bad thing that happened to you. And if you nurture that seed, if you think about it and say, God, why did you do this to me? Why did you take this person? Why did you take this job? Why did you do this bad thing to me? If you nurture that thought, it can become a root of bitterness against God. And the enemy would want to take that root of bitterness to do what? To separate you from God. But when the enemy tries to put the thought in your mind that God did this bad thing to you, tell him, devil, you are a liar. Because the Word of God says in John 10:10 that you come to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But my God came to give me life. Jesus came to give me life and life more abundantly. You know, when you quote the Word of God to the devil, what does the devil do? He runs, right? He does not like the Word of God. When he tries to lie to you and say that God is the author of something bad that happens to you, say, devil, Matthew 7:11 says this, I rebuke you in the name of Jesus, that if we earthly fathers know how to give good gifts to our children, how much more so will my heavenly Father give good gifts to me? Does that make sense? So guys, you've got to quote the Word of God. But in order to quote the Word of God, you've got to do what? You've got to store the Word of God up on the inside of you, right? How do you store the Word of God on the inside of you? By reading it on a consistent basis. How many read the Bible on a consistent basis? Day after day after day. You got to do it, friends. The psalmist said, Thy Word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against you. You've got to hide the Word of God in your heart so that when the enemy tries to lie at you, what do? You quote the Word of God. Amen? Amen. Does that make sense? How many here have Bibles? Several of you don't have Bibles. You don't have one? How about you, sir? And how about you? You have a Bible? You bought a large print? You need a large print.
What is Psalms 7? Chapter 7:23-24.
We can talk about, you know, we can discuss that a little later, but anyway, guys, you know what? Things will happen to us. We will experience losses. Some bad things will come across our path, but don't give up on God in your Christian walk. When things get tough, when you're going through a valley experience, don't let go of your walk with God. Hold strong to God in the thick and in the thin. You know, it's great when we have these mountaintop experiences with God, right? Things are going really well for us. But when you hit those valley times, those low times, it's a little more difficult, right? To hold tight to God. But continue holding strong to God. Don't give up faith in God. Because you know what? God is out for your best. He's out for your good. He is not the cause of your problem. We talked about some of those causes, right, tonight, this afternoon? It's other people's mistakes, the sin nature in us, right? Other people's sins, the devil himself, you know? So just remember, God is good all the time, and all the time God is good. Say it with me tonight, or this afternoon. Say, God is good, all the time. And all the time, God is good. Amen? It's good news, isn't it? All right. Well, you can either get depressed over the bad thing that's happened to you or forget about it and press forward. Because the same power that raised Jesus from the dead lives on the inside of you. You know, you can either become a prisoner of the bad thing that has happened, or you can leave that bad thing where it belongs. Where does that bad thing belong? It belongs in the past, and run like a free man with the purpose and the destiny that God has for you. Run like a free man. Don't be imprisoned by the bad thing that's happened in your past. God was not the cause. Just know that God has got a great plan in store for you. And continue to follow hard after God. What did Job say after he lost everything? He said, though he slay me, yet will I continue to serve him. Job did not give up on God, and neither should we. Amen? Remember Joseph and his brothers. They came begging him for forgiveness in Exodus 50, right? Let me turn there real quick. They sold him through a series of events. They asked for his forgiveness. Genesis chapter 50. This is what it says. Let me just turn there real quick. Genesis 50, verse 18. His brothers then came and threw themselves down before him. We are your slaves, they said. But Joseph said to them, don't be afraid. Am I in the place of God? You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives. And guys, you may have had some pretty bad things that happened to you. But what the enemy meant for evil, God is going to take that thing and turn it around for good in your life and in the lives of others. Don't forget that. Just like he did it for Joseph, he's going to do it for you. Amen? God is out for your best, friends. Never, ever forget that.